Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the year-end podcast for the New Books and Political Science podcast. My name is Heath Brown, and I am here today with my great co-host, Lily Gorin. Lily.
Hi, Heath.
Lily, you are here. It is cold where I am. Is it cold where you are?
No, it's strangely temperate in Wisconsin. We don't know what's going on. It must be climate change.
Well, tis the season for some somewhat nicer weather in Wisconsin. In New York, it's freezing. We've had such a great year of podcasts. I've enjoyed listening to your podcasts.
And I've enjoyed listening to your podcast, particularly when I was abroad.
This is wonderful. It's so nice to know that these travel well internationally. We have the chance now, just the two of us, to talk. We normally do this separately, but we have the chance to talk about some of our most enjoyable podcasts of the year. Not necessarily the ones that were the most fun, but that we learned a lot from, that we enjoyed talking to the authors. One of the great things about this is the chance to actually talk to these people who put so much hard work into their books. And so we get the chance to do this.
Yes. And so, and again, it is often that you and I are sort of not competing, but we are not talking to each other.
Right. We do this from such different places. It's not like we're sitting next to each other in a studio somewhere. We have our own homes and our own campuses. But this time of year, we get to come together and talk via the internet about the books that we love. So I know I've chosen some books that I've enjoyed over 2018. I know you've done the same. Why don't you start with the first book that you really enjoyed and tell us the title and what you enjoyed about it?
Well, it's actually one of the more recent podcasts that I did with Lynn Vavrick, who is one of the three authors of Identity Crisis. She's joined by John Sides and Michael Tesler. And Identity Crisis was recently published by Princeton. The subtitle is The 2016 Presidential Campaign and the Battle for the Meaning of America. And Vavrick, Sides, and Tesler look at sort of what happened leading up to the election in 2016, and also in terms of what actually happened in 2016 in the election with regard to what we're now discussing as kind of broad identity politics. And they were sort of anticipating possibly exploring the question of gender. And it turned out that they ended up exploring in large measure the question of race.
Yeah, this is a book that you actually can see out at bookstores, where bookstores do exist. This has been such a well-received, well-read book that it's actually like a in the common conversation. What was the conversation with Lynn like?
It was a really, really good conversation, and I had a nice time chatting with her about, again, sort of the anticipation when they were sort of preparing to think about the 2016 election, and following on work that the three of them had sort of also done separately in the past, and then what happened in 2016, and sort of putting together a variety of models given very large survey information that they had, and sort of coming out with information about how voters thought about and actually voted in the 2016 election that was, you know, to a surprise to many of us in terms of outcomes, but also where voters are positioning themselves and thinking about politics.
Yeah, fantastic. A great book from 2018.
And what is your first choice?
Yeah, so my first choice is a book that we had on, I believe it was the beginning of the spring. I had hounded the author for months anticipating the book. And she, when the book finally came out, we had the pleasure to have her on. Her name is Jamila Michener. The book, for those of you that don't remember, was Fragmented Democracy, Medicaid Federalism, and Unequal Politics. Cambridge University Press published the book. Jamila is great in so many ways. One of the reasons she's great is that she's from New York. She's from Queens, which is something that's great. And in addition to that, she's published this really interesting book about Medicaid. And I just learned so much about just the program of Medicaid. It's this massive, massive, the largest public health insurer in the United States. It covers 70 million Americans. It's providing health care to those in tremendous need in such an important way. The book is both kind of descriptively about Medicaid as a program, but really importantly about it, how it works as an intergovernmental program. And much of what she studies in the book is how federalism and the relationship between national policy and state implementation actually works. What she finds is often quite disturbing, the way it works in some states and in some localities. For some people that are being served by Medicaid, especially African Americans and Latinos, it is often quite bad. The way that people are treated in receiving health care through the delivery of these services often puts them in quite negative positions. This is just a really, really interesting book about such an important public policy area. I think the other reasons why I thought this book was interesting is because some of the exact things that Jamila shows in the book are happening more and more in these, not just in Medicaid, but in other kinds of social welfare programs. We see a return to drug testing and work requirements as a part of different changes in these programs in different parts of the country. Based on what she's found in the book, we would expect that the consequence of these changes are likely to mirror Jamila's findings, and for that reason to be quite worrisome. The book is was really, really interesting. Again, the title is Fragmented Democracy, Medicaid, Federalism, and Unequal Politics. I enjoyed it when it came out. Had a pleasure having her on the podcast, and hope everyone at the end of this year can go out and get the book, because it was really great.
And it's another book that has had a lot of popular response as well, in terms of really hitting into a lot of the discussion about understanding federalism and unequal distributions of policies. And I think you may be able to find it in brick and mortar bookstores where you live. Possibly.
Yeah, if those actually exist, if they are still in your community, you probably can. So, and if not, you can certainly get it on Amazon or at the Cambridge University Press website.
Of course.
Okay. What's next for you? What was the next book that you loved?
Now, I'm going to move into my political theory direction, and I'm going to go for a twofer here.
Great.
And I'm going for a twofer because both these books take up the question of time, which is, you know, sort of this abstraction. But at the same time, both authors are looking at and trying to understand how we operate within time, and they're looking at it in different ways. So Elizabeth Cohn published The Political Value of Time, Citizenship, Duration, and Democratic Justice with Cambridge this past year. And it's been also quite topical because a lot of the discussion that Cohn is making in this kind of understanding of the political value of time is all around us, as she points out throughout the book. When we start talking about, say, Michael Cohn being sentenced to a number of years in prison for wrongdoing, that's actually a political value of time. And so she talks about the way that time sort of structures a lot of our political understanding of right and wrong, and also democracy. The other book that I was thinking about in context is Emily Knuckles' book, An Age of Risk, Politics and Economy in Early Modern Britain. And this was published by Princeton University Press. And in Knuckles' book, she's also discussing essentially an understanding a sort of growing understanding in early modern thinking with regard to risk, and risk is connected to our understanding of time, particularly in the early modern thinkers who she is examining, folks like Thomas Hobbes and Hume, and they're trying to structure understandings of society. And one of the issues that keeps sort of circling their assessment and her analysis is how time shapes a lot of democracy, and also the idea of risk, which is the centerpiece of her book. So these are kind of a match set, if you want, not quite a match set because they're looking at different time periods, just to further confuse listeners. But they are both exploring in different ways the concept of time in a political manner and through sort of political lenses.
Yeah, I haven't read either yet, though I've listened to the podcast. And I love having you as a co-host of the podcast because you take on these interesting, difficult, complicated political theory books and bring them into the podcast realm and allow these authors to talk about these such interesting concepts and take them to the complexity and really make them real. And so great recommendations. I would like to go out and read them as well.
And what is your next selection, Heath?
Okay, so my next book is another book that I really enjoyed a lot. The book title is Citizens by Degree, Higher Education Policy and the Changing Gender Dynamics of American Citizenship. This came out from Oxford in their studies in post-war American political development. The author of the book is Deandra Rose, and she writes about a subject matter that I have a lot of interest in, which is higher education policy. I did higher education policy work prior to joining the academy on this side of the fence. The book is really interesting because it looks at the way in which federal policymaking relates to the development of women's rights and women's empowerment. She looks specifically at a couple of laws that were passed in the 1950s and 60s, the National Defense Education Act of 1958, the somewhat more famous Higher Education Act of 1965, and Title IX in the 1972 Education Amendments to the federal law. The argument that she makes is that the federal policymakers were crucial in empowering women to earn higher education degrees, but this also had some political effects as well, and women's political participation that has been studied so much by social movement scholars and others actually has this policy component as well. One of the really interesting parts of the book is when Deandra folds in the issue of race and how race and gender actually sort of depart from each other in the way in which federal policymakers were trying to address higher education during this time period. They approach it in very different ways with consequences for the empowerment of women on the one hand and African Americans on the other. The book was really, really interesting, so well researched. Again, the title was Citizens by Degree, and the author, who's written the book is Deandra Rose. So I couldn't recommend another book as much as Deandra's.
It sounds great. I haven't read that one yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, for anyone who's involved in higher ed, you would learn a ton.
And that's also one of the things I find with a lot of the books that we read for the podcast is that there's the main thesis of many of the authors, and then there are a multitude of sub-theses that you didn't even anticipate as you're reading the book. That obviously they're extremely well-researched books in political science that are exploring complex topics. But I often learn so much in going through the books and then talking with the authors about them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. One of the really nice things about doing the podcast is that unlike other podcasts that are out there that I'm sure are wonderful, we never have trouble finding topics and subjects and guests.
That's true.
That's because as we look ahead to 2019, look at 2018 in the rearview mirror, we know that there are even greater books to come in 2019. We are already starting to see these, hear about them. As they're coming out, if anyone has a new book, please do share it with one of us or both of us. In thinking about the year to come, what are you excited about? What's on your desk? What do you hope to get? And who do you hope to have on the podcast?
Well, I have stacks of books so far, and I'm setting up appointments for podcasting. And at the top of my pile is Joycelyn Borisica. I know I am messing up Joycelyn's name. Suspect Citizens, Women, Virtue, and Vice in Backlash Politics. And this was recently published just this fall by Temple University Press. And this is a book that I think I've heard an aspect of at a conference a couple of years ago, where Joycelyn takes up ancient, modern, and sort of contemporary political and feminist theory and practice, and is also looking at an understanding of where women are positioned within society as citizens, particularly when we have sort of dynamics around questions of feminism and full rights for women.
Yeah, the book sounds really interesting. When is it out?
It's out now. It was in the fall catalog from Temple University Press, which is where I sort of came across it. And it is available from Temple.
Great. We had a collection from Temple University Press in the fall, and I hope this is one that we get to in January.
Yes, I hope to be able to talk to Joycelyn in January about it. And what's on your tabletop?
Yeah, one of the things that we talked to a number of authors about in 2018 was the impact of increasing diversity, changing demographics in the country. There have been a number of really good books written about that. The mobilization of Latino voters was a book that we had on last winter. But in 2019, there's a really interesting book that will be out called White Identity Politics, written by Ashley Jardina. This book is a very, very interesting complement to many of those works that came out in 2018, where she actually looks at the concept and measurement of whiteness, white identity, white consciousness, and tries to separate out what it means to hold a white identity, what it means for white people to have a consciousness about being white, and also how that relates to things like racial resentment, racism, and views towards certain kinds of social policies. I have read the book and enjoyed it a good deal. It's incredibly, incredibly well researched, a ton of very interestingly analyzed data. And the findings, I think, couldn't be more timely. I think at the end of 2018, the start of 2019, this idea of identity politics, particularly white identity politics, couldn't be more important for us to better understand. Ashley's book, I think, does this in a really powerful way. And so our book is published by Cambridge University Press, and it is one that we hope to have on very soon, because it's just a really, really important book.
It sounds like you've got your work cut out for you. I've got my work cut out for me, because I've got a stack of about another 10 books as well.
Thankfully, you have some time off from your teaching and your grading, and you can focus just on your reading and your writing. And at some point, I have to assume, given our previous conversations, I will have the pleasure to have you on the podcast to talk about your next book project. And I hope to do the same with you.
And I with you, Heath, of course.
Yeah, this would be wonderful. If not 2019, 2020, if not 2020. I don't know if we're still going to do podcasts in 2021. We may be doing something else, but in either case, I look forward to it.
Me too, do I.
Yeah, Lily, we will talk to everyone real soon.
Happy holidays.
Likewise.